A spike in U.S. inflation last month is rattling global markets. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. American consumer prices rose by their highest level in more than 12 years in April, but Federal Reserve officials spent yesterday insisting the surge is temporary and not indicative of a looming trend. Investors, though, worry if data show the economy is in fact beginning to overheat, the central bank will be forced to raise rates much sooner than expected. Overnight, Asian stock markets took a cue from Wall Street. Benchmarks across the region fell in the 0.8% to 2% range. European shares are down by about the same margin this morning, while government bond yields, which move inversely to prices, are popping higher. Michael Hewson, chief market analyst at CMC Markets, argues these worries over price spikes need to be put into perspective.
A year ago, U.S. crude prices were $10 a barrel and actually briefly went negative. They are now nearer to $65. Dollars a barrel. You've also seen a significant amount of global supply and trade bottlenecks, which is creating shortages and pushing prices up. Now they are likely to clear. And obviously with an economic reopening, some people, some retailers, some businesses are putting prices up to reflect the amount of time they've been shut down. All of these factors should pass. I think the biggest concern that investors have at the moment is while they're being assured that these are transitory, they could well last 4 to 5 or even 6 months. And that's why markets are freaking out.
And that's sort of the thing, right, is there are all these other factors in this equation. If we look at wage inflation, for example, economies, some of them around the world, finally starting to emerge from the pandemic. Yes, there's still government support for labor markets. But once that goes away, I mean, really, will we see workers demanding higher pay, higher wages? Or will it be sort of more like a 2008 situation where workers are just going to be happy to have a job at all?
I think it's probably going to be the latter, because at the moment we're seeing extraordinary support measures from governments. You've already seen in the recent payrolls numbers that there's an awful lot of US workers that aren't actually in that much of a rush to go back to work. So you've got that mismatch. And I think we may have to wait at least another 4 to 5 months when an awful lot of these support measures expire to get a better idea of what the labour market is doing and what wage inflation is likely to be. Because in the US, these support measures are going to be expiring in September. Here in the UK, it's a similar sort of situation where the job retention programme is also due to expire.
Michael Hewson from CMC Markets, thanks for breaking this down for us this morning.
Thank you.
To Brazil now, a country with one of the world's highest COVID-19 death tolls. The local maker of AstraZeneca vaccines there told Bloomberg it only has enough active ingredient to continue producing doses until this weekend. That comes as a former aide to the Brazilian president, Jair Bolsonaro, admitted for 2 months the government ignored a contract offer from Pfizer to buy its vaccine. The revelation came as former presidential press secretary Fabio Weingarten testified before a parliamentary inquiry. The BBC's Camila Mota has more on that from Sao Paulo.
The former press secretary claimed the delay to reach out to Pfizer was due to the bureaucracy of the Brazilian state. According to Mr. Weingarten, as soon as he learned about the letter, he brought the subject to the president's attention. The eight-hour-long session was tense. Senators mentioned on their questions the many occasions President Jair Bolsonaro discouraged Brazilians to take the vaccine. Some accused Mr. Weingarten of being too evasive on his answers and lying under oath.
That's Camila Mota reporting there. The Muslim religious festival of Eid is celebrated today as Ramadan's month-long sun-up to sundown fasting comes to an end. But for many in Lebanon, this year's celebrations will be much different. That's because the country's economy is grappling with the effects of a more than 20% contraction last year, triple-digit inflation, and a sharply rising poverty rate. The BBC's Eloise Alana has more from Beirut.
It's festival time. So normally there's lots of celebrations, there's lots of cooking. But of course, due to restrictions, due to COVID, there's not so many gatherings. But also, people just can't afford as much as they used to.
And why is that? What's made the economic situation there more tenuous for people this year?
The prices of food is high due to the high cost of imports. The Lebanese lira has lost more than 85% of its value on the informal market or black market. The country started to collapse in 2019, so uprisings in October, and the value of the lira started to plummet then. The UN has quoted 55% of the population is now under the poverty line.
It's certainly difficult times for people there, but you've actually talked to several people who are finding a little bit of light through homemade pastry making. It's a certain kind of cookie that's eaten during this time, not just for those celebrating Eid, but those also celebrating Catholic and Orthodox Easter.
Exactly. They make three different types of what's called ma'mul. And there's a date one, there's a pistachio one, and there's a walnut one. It's very Lebanese, so Muslims eat it in Eid al-Fitr at the end of Ramadan. It's also eaten at Eid al-Adha, which is celebrated by Muslims and Druze. It's a very Lebanese biscuit. It's made of semolina and a fat and sugar. And then you stuff the walnuts or the pistachio or the dates inside with rose water and with orange blossom water. And then you press them out with these different molds to show you what's inside. And so I was with some women who were making them for the Orthodox Easter, and they're having to cut back on the amount they're making because they can't afford it. They're having to substitute the ghee, which is a type of fat, for the subsidized butter, and they're not making the pistachio ones because pistachios are just really expensive and they need to prioritize meat and vegetables.
But there has been some special deliveries of these, right? There are some organizations that have been working to sort of fill the gap, maybe to bring a little bit of light this time of year for people who are celebrating.
Exactly. It was the NGO Lebanon of Tomorrow, which helps a lot of vulnerable families in lots of ways with food and with medication. And this year at the Orthodox Easter, they made thousands of ma'mul and gave them to families, even gave them out on the roadside to everybody, just to spread a little bit of hope.
It sounds lovely. I think I'm going to have to look up a recipe and make them myself. The BBC's Eloise Alana for us in Beirut. Thanks so much for your time.
You're welcome.
Well, I've tweeted a link to more of Eloise's reporting. Find me at Victoria Craig. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.